77.
Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for tuning into the show as we celebrate all things creating and stories, and we're going to get ready to tune our imaginations together. So the other night, I went down a bit of a rabbit hole. It was a delightful rabbit hole and an adventure, but what I was trying to do was set an alarm so I didn't miss picking up my daughter at school. And I thought making the alarm a song would make it stand out from all the other sounds the phone sings to me during the day. And so when I looked into that, the song Imagination from Ella Fitzgerald came up as an option. And of course, I love the imagination. And so I went to play that song and listen to it. And it's sort of a thrill for me to think that there's a song out there about imagination, one of my favorite things in the world. And the song opens this way. Imagination is funny. It makes a cloudy day sunny. Makes a bee think of honey, just as I think of you. What a great line. Of course, what makes it better is the way that Ella Fitzgerald sings that song. She has that recognizable, rich, pleasant, clear voice and that phrasing. And it's so easy to fall under her spell. And Ella's song helped me to remember one of my favorite Art Zany radio songs. But I couldn't remember anything except that it was a female jazz singer. And the song was also about imagination. And I bet that's happened to you too, right? You can't remember. So I began searching using all kinds of different keywords. You know, there's something wonderful about being able to do the search easily at home on my computer and on my phone because it was somewhere in my music library. And there's something a bit maddening about having access to all that information. I needed this song, but I kept coming up with not the right song. So the good news is I persisted with new searches and worked my brain and my imagination to try to remember any of the lyrics or clues to the song. And then I found it. It was such a thrill. The song I want to tell you about is It's Crazy, sung by the fabulous Sarah Vaughan. And if you don't know that song, I've played it a couple times on Art Zany Radio because I kind of like to think it's a bit of our theme song here because it opens up with these two stanzas. I jump up at dawn, shake out the sun, laugh like a loon, everything is fun. It's crazy, but I'm in love. I act like a fool, why do I care? I'll be a fool as long as you're there. It's crazy, but I'm in love. You can hardly say those lyrics without singing. I promise you, I will never sing on the radio show. But there's a rhythm and a swing and a joy to the song. And there's nothing like that mesmerizing voice of Sarah Vaughan. She has an original voice, and she understands it. And she connects with songs to make her passion connect with you. I highly encourage you to seek out these songs and listen to a recording of them. There's a couple different versions of all of them, and it's really fun to see the different variations as they're performing it live that they do. Music can do a lot of healing, and I suggest you get lost in a song. And here's a quote from Ella Fitzgerald. I just adore this. The only thing better than singing is more singing. So let's get singing. On Art Zany Radio today, I'm very excited to be able to welcome to the studio Malin Fritz Walrud, an opera singer who's visiting Northfield, and we'll hear more about that story. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Also is Kathy Rodlin, who's a pianist who will be accompanying Malin in the performance this weekend. Thank you for being here. And Gretchen Gillis. Is it Gillis or Gillis?
No.
It's Gillis. I forgot to ask ahead of time. So wonderful. You're the music director of the Troubadours, which is what brings us all together today. Their upcoming concert is this Sunday, the 21st, at 3 p.m. at St. Peter's Lutheran Church here in Northfield. So this is a very exciting opportunity to have all of you here. I thought just to have you each give a little bit of an introduction about your singing careers or musical careers and a little bit about your songs and your world, and let our listeners get to know you a little bit as we begin our conversation. Let's start with Malin.
Well, I grew up here in Northfield, the town has been such a huge part of why I do what I do. I went through, I had Robert Swanson in grade school, and I was in the sixth grade operetta. I was the witch in the sixth grade operetta, and that was my introduction to opera. It actually is an opera. It was actually sixth grade. So back then it was the end of grade school.
Wow.
So that was like, once I did that my whole life changed, and it really opened up a new world to me. And then I went on to high school and here and to St. Olaf, where I met Kathy. And I was a music major at St. Olaf, and then went on and I won one of the Metropolitan Opera competitions. And that started my kind of, from then I got management, and I staying at the Met regularly, alto roles and things. And just that's kind of been my life since. But it all kind of started right here in the sixth grade operetta.
I love that there's a way that music, that people talk about the music in this town. Mm-hmm. And to have somebody fall in love with opera and have an elementary school teacher foster that is pretty great.
Yeah, and my first actual full-fledged opera, which I think the first opera that they ever did at St. Olaf, was Così fan tutte, and they did that in 87, was it 87? I think 87 was the first. So that was my first opera, my first operetta here at the grade school, and then first opera at St. Olaf, and that was exciting. And now they turn out all kinds of amazing opera singers at St. Olaf now.
Well, and I think that's something people might not know, is the classical training that is here in our community, and the reputation of we know about the choirs, but sometimes the opera singers aren't as well known.
Well, yeah, it's a great choral music builds soloists as well as wonderful choral artists. So.
Well, it's a thrill to have you here, and I'm excited. We'll learn more about your career in a minute. Thank you for that. And Kathy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I did not grow up in Northfield, but I've spent quite a bit of my life here. I was also a student at St. Olaf, which is where I met Malin. I am actually an organist, and so I teach organ and music theory at St. Olaf. I've been there for now 23 years. And at St. Olaf, I did a lot of accompanying, so even though I was an organ major, I played piano quite a bit for people such as Malin. And so, yeah.
And you said that you teach organ which is another thing. We've had several organ players in here who have come from the tradition of St. Olaf and gone on to do amazing things.
Yes.
It's a real shining star that we have up there. So thank you. It's wonderful. I think it's your first time visiting, so I'm thrilled that you're here on Art Zany Radio. And our last guest, Gretchen, is part of the Troubadours. And tell us about your musical world.
I graduated from Gustavus Adolphus College way back in the good old days. And from there, I got a music minor and an elementary teaching major. So I went on to become a teacher, and I taught second grade for 28 years. Enjoyed it thoroughly. And the men kid me because they say that my teaching the second graders was probably very similar to working with them.
That's the Troubadours, which is an all-men's choir for folks. and many of them, they're generally seniors, yes?
They're generally seniors. We do have some younger men, but they're generally seniors, and they're a fantastic group of men, absolutely fantastic. And my background with music is I grew up in a musical family, and my first job was as a director in a church choir. They were desperate, so they begged me, and I said, sure. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I did that for 30 years, and when I came here, I thought, I'll just sit back and do some singing myself. Well, it didn't work out that way. They asked, and I said, sure. And I've enjoyed every minute of it.
How long have you been connected with the Troubadours?
Since 2015.
Oh, so you've got...
We came here in 2014, and...
I think it's fantastic. We're doing a show about the Troubadours, and it's all women here in the studio.
Behind every great troubadour.
Yes, that's right.
That's true.
It's incredible. And if folks haven't heard them, they are a really delightful choir.
Plus, I should also add that Kathy's mother, Joanne Rodland, is our accompanist, and she is fantastic. She keeps us all in line.
That's a really important piece, mm-hmm. and that's something I do want to talk about. But first I thought, you know, not everybody, you know, gets to have singing as a central part or making music as a central part of their lives. And so what has that done to, you know, your world? How has that, you know, made a difference in your life by having that as a part of your, you know, everyday world? Mala, we'll start with you.
Oh, for me, it was just central. I really was... It just gave me a sense of identity as a younger child. As a child, it was kind of the first thing. I think music and theater, I was one of those, I guess now everybody knows, calls them theater kids. I was a theater kid from the time I was really young, but I didn't know it. And I just kind of felt a little lost until I found music and found my voice in many ways through finding my voice, and also just a huge sense of community. Music is one of the best community building things that exist in whether you're professional or avocational. I think music is an amazing way to get to know other people and to find yourself in community.
Well, let's talk about that idea of finding it, you know, that you had a voice for opera, because that is something that, you know, it's a very difficult road to, you know, go through the training and to, you know, work, hone your instrument, let's say. So when did you know that opera, you mentioned that you fell in love with singing it through some of the opera that you did in the schools, but then to decide that that's a career path, where did that come?
I grew up in a family of artists, and my mother was a visual artist. Well, my father was a history professor at St. Olaf, but my mother just really instilled a love of the arts, and I couldn't draw. I didn't have anything like that. My dad sang cowboy songs all the time, and he did that at St. Olaf too. He taught American history and sang a lot of cowboy songs, so I grew up hearing him sing cowboy songs, and we always attended the St. Olaf choir, and we went to mm-hmm. St. John's Lutheran Church, and there's just so much, the children's choir there. This whole town is just full of music and full of inspiration and musical training, and I feel like today so many younger people in other parts of the world and in where I've lived since, the choral music is not there the way it was for me then, and I think still exists in this town. I think it's unusual.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't get to see that until somebody comes back and reminds us that this is really
is.
Special.
It's very special and unique.
Yeah, exactly. And how about for you, Kathy? What have you, you know, gained from being in a musical career and being a part of music and, you know, organ music? Another one where it's, you know, not everybody takes that path. So what was it that got you excited about the organ?
Well, I was never actually excited about the organ when I was growing up. So my parents were church musicians in a large Presbyterian church as I grew up in out in New Jersey. And I was determined not to do that. And I came to St. Olaf planning to play the cello and major in math, which lasted about maybe 6 months. And yeah, my organ teacher at the time was John Ferguson. And I remember him just once saying, "What are you doing?" You know, because obviously I was trying so hard to avoid the organ, but yet it was obviously where I should be.
Was that something about your skills? I know the organ is a very complicated instrument. I'm always amazed as I watch somebody play with the foots and the hands. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, and looking at, you know, if you're accompanying somebody, kind of keeping a pace. So it's like a bit athletic.
Yeah, it was always something that came relatively easily to me, which obviously, because even my grandmother was an organist.
Ah, so there's some
genes. It sort of
came
running through the family. And I also grew up playing for all the church choirs in the church. I grew up in a big, they ran a choir program with 7 children's choirs, and I was always at the piano. And so that really taught me how to sight read and, you know, a lot about the literature. And, you know, it was always there. And I really wasn't very good at the cello.
That's not true.
I'm sure Steve Amundsen, when he was conducting the St. Olaf Orchestra, would remember that I wasn't the best cellist because I didn't practice the cello. But, you know, I loved playing in orchestras, and then it really was, you know, the organ and playing Bach and things like that. And, you know, I still play concerts, and I really, you know, I'm always happy to learn new organ music. And so, yeah. But what I really enjoy the most is trying not trying, but teaching our St. Olaf students how to play the organ and getting people that wouldn't have known anything about the organ when they arrived at St. Olaf, they sort of see the culture of the organ studios there, and I get pianists that try to play the organ, and some of them become organ majors. Sometimes we get physics majors that knew about the organ and were drawn to the, you know, the scientific parts of it and how pipes speak, and they play the organ, and we're all together in the same organ studio.
Yeah, that's so really amazing, and there's a bit, I don't know, I've had a lot more younger organists on the show, and there's a couple of, you know, summertime organ events that happen in
the
Northfield.
Northfield Noontime Series.
Yeah. The Noontime Organ Series, yes, that's really, I just think that there maybe there'll be a revival, right?
I hope so. I choose to think it's never really gone out of style, but just...
That's right.
Yeah.
And Gretchen, how about for you, is music being a part of it, what has it added to your world?
Music has added depth, and the troubadours mean so much to me. Their sound that they produce is so lovely, and I truly enjoy it, so I'm going to put in a couple plugs for them right now.
Of course.
And they've been in existence for more than 40 years, the Troubadour Organization. It's a four-part men's group. Sometimes we do three parts or two parts, and sometimes we break off into smaller groups, which we hope to do a little more of this coming new year, where there's about 25 men in the group, and we have, as I said, our equally strong accompanist, Joanne. We rehearse weekly on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock at the 50 North.
And that's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Amen. Yes. And we sing from September till December, and then we take off, and some people go south, and then we come back from February till May, and we perform in many venues like the Northfield Community Center, the Benedictine, Three Links, Laura Baker, Kildall, and we've even gone over to the Cannon Falls Retirement Home. Those are the ones we did this year. And historically, we have sung at the Winter Walk at 50 North, and we've even sung for a Rotary meeting and at the Blind School in Faribault. And we hope to add many more venues this coming year. We look at it as kind of a ministry where we sing to people sometimes who can't get out or to hear us. We sing show tunes, gospel songs, folk songs, ragtime, spirituals. We try to do music well, but we also have fun with it. So I would encourage any man that enjoys singing to come join us. No tryouts, just come, have fun, and make music.
And that's such an important thing, I think, that idea of making music a part of your life. But it's kind of, I want to ask, how did the troubadours connect with an opera singer? Because that feels, that's an unusual pairing. I wonder if do you want to start, Malin?
Sure. Well, two ways. I had two paths to come to get to do this concert. Kathy and I have been friends ever since freshman year St. Olaf, and we've stayed in touch and continued to perform together over the years. And of course, I know Kathy's mother, Joanne, very well. So that's how I think I first heard about the Troubadours from Joanne. I saw some videos over when I was visiting, and saw some videos and was very impressed and really enjoyed the whole ethos of the group. And then my high school history teacher, Russell Margulius, I'd had him for Western Civilization, and he has done a wonderful job of staying in touch with students, that his past students. He's brought a lot of us back to NHS for, he gives a humanitarian award, and I received one year along with a couple other students, but he just does a wonderful job of staying in touch with his students. So he reached out to me before COVID and said that they always did had a guest performer in the spring concert. And I know Kathy's daughter was the soloist last year. Was it last year?
Oh, it was 2019.
Sorry, that was
pre-pandemic.
Before COVID.
Yeah.
Pre-pandemic. The pandemic has confused
me. It does to all of us.
But anyway, so we had talked about me coming and before the pandemic, and he had he's just stayed in touch and called again this fall and said, could you do it? And I said, absolutely. I'm just excited to have a chance to come back and support the group.
How does it feel that you've been back in Northfield but this might be your first time performing? Is that true?
No. Okay. No, that was I think there was an interview in the paper.
Northfield News,
I think what I had said was it was my first time since COVID coming back and my first time with the Troubadours. But I've done, Kathy and I have done lots of things here and yeah, so.
Well, that's great. It's such a wonderful pairing. And tell me the story of how you met on campus and you maintained this friendship. Was it through singing, that Kathy, that you came together?
No, it was just sort of, I became friends with most of the Northfielders at the time.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And you came from another part of the country?
I was from New Jersey, yeah.
Oh, okay.
She was the cool New Yorker. And still is the cool New Yorker.
But yeah, there was a girl down the hall. Name is Julie, and I became good friends with Julie, and then Julie had all of this Northfield community, and I just sort of became part of that. And,
yep.
You know,
yep.
Of course, we were in classes together.
Lots of classes, you know. Yeah. Kathy was the musical genius in music theory who could just do music theory just without even...
Going to class.
Yeah, without even going to class, it was effortless for her, and she had to...
Wow.
Went to Juilliard, and I was struggling to even... I didn't really have any kind of academic music background at all, so I was always in awe of Kathy I was struggling and barely got through the music theory, but that was easy for her.
How do you think that is? Because I think there is something they often compare music to math, you know, that's like a code or that there's a pattern to it. But how do you explain that, you know, that idea of music as like a language, or that you have to sort of see things and you know, decode when you're doing music theory?
I don't know what the actual connection might be. I do know that a lot of people that are good at music are also good at math.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always true. My son's very good at music and not very good at math. But, you know, the analysis idea. And, you know, the part of the reason I really loved theory is because I like to take a piece of music apart on paper.
Oh.
And so and that's what I teach now, because I also teach theory as much as I teach organ up at St. Olaf. But I really like to look at how the whole thing is put together, and I think that's a very similar thing to
if
math.
You're doing, yeah, you're talking about equations and trying to find
exactly.
The derivatives
analyzing
and
formulas of chords. Mm-hmm. It's the same idea. So
yeah, I've always found that fascinating, and that's a wonderful thing. And you know, I also think when I think of music and languages, I think of opera, and one of the challenges is singing in other languages. And tell me about, you know, learning that. And I'm very curious if you're, because you're going to be doing some Greek, right?
Correct. In Norwegian.
Right. So I'm very curious about that experience and how you become facile at that. And
I've always, as bad as I was at music theory, I was always actually pretty good and gifted, I would say, in foreign languages. In fact, I won the Minnesota State Spanish competition back in the, whatever, 1980-something, whatever that was. So I've always been good at languages, and I think that was one of the things that drew me to classical music and opera. And I've sung in Spanish, Italian, German, Czech, Russian, Norwegian, I love the opportunity to sing in other languages. And the thing that I think that's really, really neat is you have to, I don't speak all those languages. I speak some of them to a small degree. Like I always say, I speak opera. Like I can tell you I'm in love or I'm dying, but I can't ask you. I don't know how to ask where the bathroom is or where the restaurant is. So in those, but I do have the, you know, those kind of things.
Well, that's one thing I was wondering. Are you learning the sound, so you're hearing
yeah.
the language, but not you're not the meaning isn't quite.
You need both. You need both, and that's what I was heading towards, was that you have to know exactly what each word means, not just a general sense of, oh, this song is about this general concept. You have to know each word, what it means, and then you also have to know the phonetics and how to pronounce it, and there are many wonderful coaches that teach diction for singing, and singing the diction for singing is different than the diction for speaking, because you're sustaining everything, and so that requires different technique. So it's a different, there are lots of coaches in all these languages, so not, and I get to work with them, and that's always fun.
That's, yeah, that would be amazing. I've always been...
The Norwegian for this piece, I coached with a member of the Norwegian department from St. Olaf. This was years ago. I'm reprising it, but mm-hmm. but it's wonderful. The language people are great.
Yeah, so folks, let's check in again. This is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, and we're talking about the Troubadours concert, which is this weekend. That is at St. Peter's Lutheran Church, which is at 418 Sumner Street here in Northfield. That's Sunday the 21st, 2023, at 3 p.m. And I understand this is a, there's no fee for this concert.
No, it is a free concert.
That's so exciting.
We welcome everyone.
And that is, you're going to be doing... pieces with Tell us how the concert's going to be structured. So what can folks expect from the music?
Malin is going to be doing one section. We'll be doing a section. Malin will do a section. We will do a section. And we have one soloist, too, from our group who is over 90. And this is kind of his swan song. He tells us next year he will not be doing any more soloing. He has promised to sing with the group, but will not be soloing. So we're anxious to hear Don's last solo.
Let's give a shout out. What's Don's last name?
Don Anderson.
Well, that'll be, what a thrill at 90 to be.
Over 90.
Over 90. Okay, so he doesn't want to give away.
He would, I'm sure.
Well, I think that's going to be wonderful. And there's, and you'll be doing the accompanying.
With just for Malin. Yeah,
right.
Malin.
So
I'll turn the rest over to my mother.
Yes. Who does a fantastic job.
I wanted, because I always find that the job of accompanist to be something quite fascinating. You have to know the music, obviously, but it's a partnership. And you really are working to, you know, all the spacing for the breath you need to know, the, you know, pacing, the timing. Tell me about how you two work together and build up your performance.
Well, I think it's interesting because we did quite a bit of it back when we were at St. Olaf, but then every time we get back together, it seems like, you know, just falling back into those habits.
Now, is it a partnership? Like, is there some magic that happens with certain partners, like a singer and there's a click, right, that this relationship works? Or are there, I'm just trying to figure out how to make that be the best it can be, because it's a real challenge, I think, at least from my perspective, song.
A good accompanist should be able to play for anyone.
Okay.
You know, whether it be a singer or a violinist or anything, but there are certain people that it's easier, you know, because we've known each other for a while, and just having done a lot of choir work, I feel like I do singers best.
Kathy's really, really amazing. Yeah, no, she is, and I work with a lot of different pianists, and it's just always a treat to get to come and work with Kathy. And it, yeah.
From your perspective, what makes a good accompanist?
I think an ability to just kind of feel the music together, and it really is. It's called collaborative piano. And it really is a collaboration. I think it's like just a sensitivity and it's kind of like it's kind of your it's more like tennis, I would say, than one person. There's not one person leading. We're both kind of working together and handing things off. And would you say that's correct?
Yeah.
And I think that's something people don't always understand, how you build that relationship and how you make that work. That it's not just, you know, putting two people in a room. You have to work and probably break the piece down and, you know, say, this is where I want to take a breath, or I want to, or you might have practiced it too fast or too slow.
Mm-hmm. And it's in the moment, being able to just create something in the moment, and it's new every time. It's different every time. And I think to have somebody who's so great at and fast on their feet, who can adjust, and you know, if I make a mistake, Kathy can fix it, and no one even notices. It's a wonderful thing, mm-hmm. and that makes me relax and do better than I would if I didn't have that kind of amazing rapport.
Yeah, and one of the things I also wanted to ask you so is just not a lot of us will have ever had the opportunity to be on the New York Metropolitan Opera stage. And that is something that, you know, I would love to hear a story about being on that stage and what might surprise us about your experience or what have you discovered, you know, by being in that space with those high-quality performers and the audiences that come to the...
It really is just a wonderful thing. I think just to use the sports analogy, you rise to the level of the people around you, or at least you're heading that direction. You may not get there, but so being with amazing singers, it makes your singing better. And a story about there's a real nice feeling when you're on stage there. It's a wonderful, it's kind of almost a church-like feeling, being on the stage for me anyway. It's not like, oh, we're putting on this big show. It feels kind of sacred. Also, I would say, let's see, a good story. I was in Die Walküre, and we're running around with spears and helmets and stuff. And you would think that it would be, you know, just so, you know, carefully... you know, the safety and everything, and they do prioritize safety, but you're running around on this huge platform that's, you know, a couple stories high. You could just fall right off the back of it, you know, and no one ever did. I don't know how, but you know, you got to keep your eye on the conductor. You got a spear, you got a helmet, there's like smoke coming around, and it's just, it's really, you have to stay alert. And so there's this whole, you know, beautiful, sacred, ethereal quality. And then there's just the, don't fall off the back of the set and kill yourself kind of. So there's those two aspects going on.
Yeah, I just thought about that, how opera really does have all of those theatrical things that you think about when an actor's performing, but you have to add on top of that the singing as well.
And I like that, actually. I feel like the more I get out of my own head and I'm doing other things, the better I sing. Like, I get out of my own way because I sing better when I'm worrying about not falling two stories down to my death than I would if I was. It kind of takes the nerves away in a weird way.
We'll get a ladder for Sunday.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I think that's a great story, and it's wonderful to have you here to share with us some of those experiences and to think about them, you performing in the same space as the troubadours is pretty exciting. And you talk about the pieces that you're going to be doing. You mentioned the Edvard Grieg, the Norwegian work.
Yeah. So we're doing Edvard Grieg's some selections from. He did a piece called Haugtusa, which is it's the Mountain Maid. It's about this Norwegian young woman who falls in love, loses the guy, and is devastated. But then she doesn't go off and kill herself or die or anything like that. She just lies by this river, and Kathy has a beautiful part that is the stream and the river. It's very complicated, gorgeous piano part, and she just is there, kind of recovering from losing this love. And the music's very accessible. It's in Norwegian, but it almost has like a Broadway like quality. And then the other things that we're doing are Memory from Cats, a selection from Carmen, the opera Carmen, and just some other Broadway things. So,
yeah, it's a very delightful selection.
We tried to make it really accessible and fun.
Yeah, and I love how you said, and she doesn't go off and die. It sounds like that happens a bit in opera.
Yeah, that's right. But the Norwegians are stronger than that. They're better. They don't go die from the lost love. They go on. So
I love that. And what will the troubadours be performing?
Well, again, we'll be doing some spirituals, and we'll be doing some folk songs. And we'll be doing some ragtime, and
it sounds like
a nice variety,
a vibrant show. Then, and many opportunities to enjoy music that you might know, and some classics. And do people get to sing along with the troubadours?
We have had people sing along, and it's up to me, so I'll just check it out.
Okay. Sounds like you have a lot of fun with that group, too.
I do.
That group,
definitely.
Too. How do singers get to know their voices? And maybe the truth, it's also true with organ, too. I was just thinking about that, that, you know, finding a style of music that matches or a way of expressing yourself, because it's, you know, it is an instrument that you can, just like the singing is an instrument. Let's start with the organ, and then we'll talk about singing and finding your voice.
Yeah, because I don't know if there's a particular style of organ music that I like any more than any other.
Mm.
You know, just like.
But how do you help students find what is their lane or their best way of performing on the organ?
Well, interestingly enough, with the organ, most of them come in having done piano or something else first.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just, there's a lot of technique that comes with the organ. And so if you're a pianist, what I really like to do is give them pieces that have very little foot involvement, because it takes the feet a long time to catch up. And so I love to give them a lot of pieces, Baroque pieces by Pachelbel, and sort of the easier Bach pieces. And then there's some romantic pieces that are hands only, just so they can have some success with something while they're trying to catch up their feet and their coordination.
Yeah, because I would imagine it takes a while for your brain to have the pathways to allow that to happen.
But I've had some students that have come in wanting to play nothing but hymns, because they grew up in a church family or something, and they want to get a church job, and they don't want to waste their time doing all these other hard things, and so they want to play hymns. And then some come in, and all they want to do is Bach or some. So every student kind of has his or her favorite. But I'm a real generalist, so I believe if you love Bach, then you've got to be able to play a lot of 20th century composers like Messiaen as well. I mean, you really need to be able to be esoteric in every different possible musical period. So,
Yeah, a good teacher can do that, can give you a nudge.
We try.
How about finding your voice, Malin? How did you get to know your voice? And I'm thinking, I have a friend who's a writer, and she wrote a story about she was a trained opera singer, and we were all just in awe of the details that she was giving us about how she knew her body and her cavity and, you know, all of the things that were happening with every part of her face. It wasn't just the mouth, and it was just we were all absolutely fascinated. And she talked about knowing, you know, she wanted to be a soprano, but actually her voice didn't want to be a soprano, and it was a journey.
We all want to be sopranos, but I am not either. So it's like, and I had this very similar experience where every young girl dreams of singing, you know, perfect high C's and beyond and doing the Queen of the Night and all the stratospheric stuff. And that's what I wanted to do. But I discovered I started out as a soprano in choir in high school, and my voice always stuck out in a really annoying way to everyone. And I think that was one of the reasons I started taking voice lessons.
Tell me, when you say your voice stuck out, what is that?
You could hear my voice individually when the choir was singing, which kind of ruined the choir, you know. So I actually started taking voice lessons. I started with Cora Schultz, who's still wonderful. And my voice was just unwieldy and very loud, and it stuck out. So I started studying with Cora, and she got my voice to a place where it was, you know, more supple and less abrasive and less loud, and I was able to, you know, work with the choir better. But I'm still a soprano. And then I discovered at St. Olaf I was also still a soprano, but the high notes never came very easily for me, and the voice had a different color. But I just, you know, continued on as a soprano, and I did a soprano lead at the opera. But then when I got to graduate school, they said, you know what, you know, we think you're a mezzo. And then I was so much more comfortable, and the color, and I didn't have to. So I had to give up those wonderful lead roles, but I found myself more and comfort more. And you do feel more resonance, like in the, I think what my voice type, there's more resonance in the chest cavity than a soprano would feel. But it is like we still have everyone feels a lot of resonance in the face and everything. But so then it was a journey to try to find out what my voice was, and that was both exciting and very frustrating sometimes.
I would imagine, and I don't think people often think about that, because they instantly, when you say opera to somebody, you know, they think soprano, loud, like you said, the high C's,
right?
And so I wonder if there are new operas that are writing starring parts for, you know, all the other layers of voice, the mezzos and the contraltos, and
there are some great things. I think it still tends to be, I mean, it's most common that the soprano's the lead, and the, you know, I'm the Gene Hackman sidekick or something like that. I'm the mezzos and the altos tend to be supporting characters, but I love being a supporting character, and they're often very interesting acting roles and very dramatic, I love that. So I don't mind not being the lead.
Mm-hmm. What would you say about people who are, you know, we have a lot of singers here who are trying to discover their voice, and, you know, what kind of work should they be doing, or who should they be talking to, or how can they, become their best voice?
Well, I think what young people have now that we never had is, like, go on YouTube. You can see everybody. I mean, and you can see them up close. You can learn so much. You can hear so many things. And, of course, find a voice teacher, join a choir, and really get into the text and the acting side of it. I think that's a part of it, that whether you're a choral musician or an opera singer or a Broadway person, I think really getting into the text is huge.
That's something it was unexpected for me to hear from you, but I can see, because, you know, as you mentioned in some of the operas, you're, you know, doing characters, and so the voice is a part of that character, and so knowing the story inside and out is an essential part, but I think that's missed by a lot of people when they begin.
Yeah, and then the other thing I would say is, I mean, like you pointed out earlier, the body is the instrument for a singer, and really, you know, being in shape and being, you know, take movement classes, all these kind of things, it benefits a singer enormously. A choral artist, anybody, it's just great. Take yoga, take dance, whatever, you know.
And those are really great advice. Now, you are the director of the Troubadours, and so how do you help your members find their voice and, you know, sing the different roles that you're asking them to do?
By the time they've reached the age they are, they have found their voice, and they pretty much know where it is.
Mm.
So I work with them where they are. I take them where they are. And I challenge some of them to go a little higher. They can just put it up in your head voice, or let it down low and just enjoy that. I think the most important thing for me with my men is that they enjoy themselves. They love singing to begin with. That's what brought them to our group. But then to continue that joy. And I take suggestions from them. If they have a song that they think they would like to perform, we do have soloists at some of these venues. We have 3 or 4 men that do solos, and they do a wonderful job. So that's how I work with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would imagine that being together singing, as you had mentioned earlier, just that community is important. And, you know, to think about the man, I've forgotten his name, Don, who was doing the solo, mm-hmm. You know, to have that place to go and, you know, well into your 90s, or somewhere in the 90s.
Yes.
Is a thrill. And Kathy, your mom is the accompanist, mm-hmm. and to the group. Have you talked to her about being a part of that group and what that means to her as well?
Well, when she moved to Northfield after, you know, living in New Jersey for how many years, she was trying to build a little bit of a social life, and this came along, and I think it became her social life. Mm-hmm. And so she's gotten a lot of friends through the Troubadours, and plus it's kept her active musically.
And the men all watch out for her, which is very nice.
Yeah, it sounds like a lovely concert. I want to remind our listeners again, if you're tuning in, this is Art Zany Radio for the Imagination, the Troubadours concert with special guest Malin Fritz-Walrud. Walrod, I'm sorry, I said that incorrectly there, is Sunday the 21st, 2023, at 3 p.m., St. Peter's Lutheran Church on Sumner Street, 418 Sumner Street in Northfield. And it's amazing that this is a free concert. What a treat for our community, for folks to be able to have an afternoon of music and singing and just an incredible time.
Hopefully people will go away humming some of these songs.
And right, that's what you want people to feel. And when you are singing, what are you hoping that people in the audience are receiving?
The same thing. I Gretchen, I think, just nailed it. We want people to really not have some kind of a museum experience, and I think that's what people fear with like classical music. Like you want to be very alive and real, and have it touch their heart. You know, that just same. I think whether you're a rock musician or a classical musician or Broadway or an organist or a choral musician, like you want to touch people's heart and you want to make them feel something good, hopefully, or connect with some of their own emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell the men to look out at the audience, and if they'll know they're doing an excellent job if they see some tears coming down some faces, because that says a lot.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I'm curious too about opera, and how. I think one of the things that's happened during our time with the pandemic is we didn't get live performances, and it was hard to do some. And I think we all realized how much we need that in our lives. What is happening in the opera world with performances again?
It's just coming back. I think it's been very it's been very difficult. A lot of companies have closed their doors, and people have. It's really difficult to rebuild, mm-hmm. but I hope they will. And things have started back, but I think it's going to be a challenge to get the audience back. It's going to be a challenge to keep funds coming in, because people got used to not going, and I heard that happen with the baseball strike too. People get used to not going, and then it takes years to build back. So, but I think we will build back.
And what are in the Twin Cities, or do any of you know opportunities? I know there's a couple of opera companies in the Twin Cities, and that's something I've always heard too, is a struggle with, the big stages, right? New York is the place that everybody wants to go, and it's so hard to find, have performances in the middle of America. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that's being addressed in the opera world.
I think actually the local operas are very vibrant, I feel like a lot of New York singers look forward to going to the Twin Cities to perform, or other places, because there's a lot of kind of audience that's kind of already in place and ready to see things and want to see things, and it's wonderful to get to travel. And most of my New York friends are all traveling all around, so
that's
good. I think
good.
It's really the funding it's the funding that's hard to keep going, to keep all everything happening.
Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage people to explore that if they haven't been to the opera, or it's been a while, that it's something that they should definitely do and add singing to their world. Anything else we want to add before we wrap today about this concert or singing and the world of music that, I hope that we've inspired a few people to reconnect to whatever their voice is and wherever stage they are in the world. That's what I'm hoping. But anyone else want to add any other details? What do we miss? Oh, we got quiet. It is just so fun to be able to talk about this. And I also wanted to mention too, there's a video on the City of Northfield they have of the Troubadours at 50 North. Do you know when that was taken? Recently?
I believe it was the end of March.
Oh, okay. So it is, I thought it was a fairly new piece. And so I thank Sam Temple and the folks at the Northfield Public Broadcasting. They are putting up all kinds of different videos. And so if you want a sample of that, you can find that on YouTube. As you mentioned, YouTube is a source of all things. And I think even my daughter just the other day was, we she's turning, working on her driver's license, and went there to practice parallel parking. I said, I never would have thought. There's everything out there. Like, wouldn't you need to be in the car to practice? Nope. She wanted to know how other people had learned to do it. And so it's an amazing thing. And singing is a lifelong piece. Do you imagine yourself doing this in many, many years ahead?
I hope so, and that's one of the benefits of having a lower voice. I think the low voices tend to have a pretty good long trajectory. So I'm actually kind of in a good point in my career in vocally, where if I had a very high voice, I might be not singing as much anymore.
And that's good for all of us. Yeah. And you'll be playing organ and piano for years to come, I imagine.
Hopefully, yes.
Well, I can't wait to see all of you in concert. It's been a thrill. I want to thank my guests today for being on Art Zany Radio, Malin Fritz-Walrud. Thank you for being here. It's been a pure pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And Kathy Rodland, I'm excited to meet you, and maybe we'll connect again and over some of the organists that you're teaching. I'd love to hear from them. And Gretchen Gillis, thank you from the Troubadours for being here on Art Zany Radio. This is such a thrill, folks, and I want to thank you all for listening and hope that you do go find a song to listen to or practice your own singing. But of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.
95.1 The One.